And would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Pursuant to Agenda Item 1A, Commissioner John Mirisch has requested to participate remotely in today's meeting. His request is for just cause related to travel while on official business of the body of another agency, and it is allowed pursuant to Government Code Section 54953F, subsections 1 through 3. Staff recommends that the Commission approve the request from Commissioner Mirisch to participate remotely for just cause at today's meeting.
Is there a motion to do so?
So moved.
Is there a second? Under discussion, is he connected?
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet, okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay? And he's?
Unfortunately, you do have to do a, Mr. Chair.
A roll call?
You do have to do a roll call.
Okay, let's have the roll call. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mirisch?
No, he can't vote on it.
Commissioner Reyes English?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes. Unanimous.
Item 3 is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, I have a few announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website on Tuesday, March 5th. It was posted here at the Hall of Administration on Thursday, March 7th. The agenda and public hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock p.m. yesterday. Staff has not received any written communications after the agenda was posted. Our legal counsel has reviewed the agenda and has affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. Please note that all votes today will require a roll call vote. Our clerk will call the roll for agenda items requiring a vote. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and state your name so that we can record it in the minutes. Item 4 is the swearing in of speakers. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify today? No. Okay. And has Commissioner Mirisch joined yet? Okay, thank you. Seeing no one in the room and no one online, we'll move on from public comment to item 6, which is your consent agenda. It includes agenda items 6A through 6M, as in Mary. Staff recommends that the Commission adopt one motion approving the consent agenda.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. Angie Reyes English.
Second.
Second. McKellum.
Discussion? Please call Earl.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Reyes English?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes. And the motion passes? The consent items are all approved. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda, number 7.
Good morning.
There we are, yes. Watch it.
There, thank you. Staff is recommending that the Commission adopt the draft budget for fiscal year 2024-25, as shown in the screen, and direct staff to mail a copy to the county, the cities, and the independent special districts. This is the first required public hearing, and a second public hearing for the final will be scheduled for April 10th. The overall budget proposes an increase of approximately 4.9% over the current year, which is fiscal year 2023-24. The increase in this year's budget is attributable to costs that are outside of our control, such as employer pension contributions, insurance premiums, and increased cybersecurity and IT support. At this time, I would also request that the Commission consider its excess liability insurance. We recently received a quote, which is what is included in the proposed budget, of approximately $25,000 for coverage for the coming fiscal year. We had a meeting yesterday with the representatives for the insurance carrier, and we were provided with an option to decrease excess liability coverage, which includes commercial general liability, wrongful acts, employment practices, employee benefits, business, auto, and employer's liability. And we would decrease the budget by about 21% in this category, reducing our premium by approximately $5,500 to $19,700. If the commission is willing to consider that, please inform me in your approval of the budget. And this will be the first increase to the LAFCO apportionment, as there were no increases in two consecutive fiscal years, which are fiscal year 22-23 and fiscal year 23-24. Your staff report includes the draft proposed budget, as well as a narrative which describes any significant changes from the current fiscal year budget. Again, this is the first of two required public hearings, and staff will report back considering any input from the county, cities, or special districts at your April 10th meeting. At this time, I'll take any questions of commissioners and whether they would like to reduce the excess liability currently from a total of $11 million down to $6 million, capping it at $6 million for a reduced premium of $5,500, or keep it at current coverages up to $11 million and keep the current rate of approximately $25,000.
What's the wisdom there, Paul? What do you feel?
The issue is that your commercial general liability minimum for any public agency is $1 million. We also have an umbrella policy, which is $10 million. It's a substantial cost in the component of the insurance. The insurance is, the quote for this year is $25,000. If you reduce that umbrella from $10 million to $5 million, that premium goes down by about $5,500. It's the one component of all of our insurance and liability where we could make that change. It would mean we have less coverage. I would point out that under either scenario, we have unlimited defense costs. So in the event we are sued, we have that covered by our insurance. It's really a question of, it's balancing the $5 versus $10 million umbrella versus the $5,500 in savings. Our recommendation is that you do the reduction, but it really, because this involves potential liability for the commission, we wanted to bring it to your attention, have you give us some direction. We have not been sued in the 13 years I've been here. I'd love to say that's for brilliance and skill and charm, but I think it may be also a lot of good luck. And to the best of my knowledge from staff who have been here twice as long as I have, I'm not aware of any other litigation. So it's really your call because it involves potential exposure and liability for the commission.
Does make a politician feel good to be able to reduce costs, expenses? How does the commission feel?
I have a question. Why was it originally set at that level? Was there any rationale in terms of why it was set? Is it parallel to other commissions?
I honestly don't recall. It's been that way for a few years, and I can't remember why we initially put it at that level on the umbrella.
Okay.
I honestly just don't know. I apologize.
It was also more affordable at the time and less than our carrier when we changed carriers. So it was more coverage for less than the carrier we left in about 2021.
The one other bit of information you may want to have, actually two bits. One is that our carrier is under the impression that LAFCOs are being sued more than they used to be. I'm not sure I agree with that. There is some litigation around the state. I don't know that it's any more than it was 5 or 10 years ago. The second part is of concern, which is that he said more public agencies are being sued in Los Angeles, and more public agencies in Los Angeles are losing lawsuits. He is not a fan of our jury pool in Los Angeles County. I am still of the opinion that our exposure to litigation is relatively low, but it really, again, because it's an exposure and it's not just the cost issue, it's a liability issue. We want to be sure you're comfortable with whatever direction we go.
And when he says more LAFCOs are being sued throughout the state or whatever, what are they being sued for?
legitimate items, and I would also say some of them are nuisance lawsuits from unhappy applicants. You know, unfortunately, our counterparts in one of the other Southern Region LAFCOs has had what they consider a four-year nuisance lawsuit that they just haven't been able to get rid of.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Drawing upon my experience as a former director of the Joint Powers Insurance Organization that all the special districts belong to, plus also being the former director of my homeowners association, I'm concerned about reducing coverage given the fact that major insurance carriers throughout the state are withdrawing and not writing more policies or writing higher policies because of the stress on the joint insurance liability pool, which is, I say, it is from my experience with the insurance market, it's under stress. So I do agree that we should be on the lookout for reduction of costs, but then we need to look at the long term, because if we reduce our coverage, the ability to increase coverage due to demands may not be there in the future. So I just want to point that out, and we need to consider this carefully, because maybe, as our general manager has pointed out, that we've been lucky not to be sued. But as you understand and look at the news, it's a rather litigious society out there at this time.
Yeah, I would say it's a great point. One, have we thought, or do there exist JPAs for like agencies that would bundle the insurances and therefore get a premium because of a risk pool that's larger, and they could underwrite lower?
The one we would love to get insurance from is Aqua, but Aqua does not allow non-water agencies to avail themselves of their insurance. We really have felt that there's either the open market, which is horribly expensive, and the two options, there's really three options that we're aware of that LAFCOs use. One is through their county. That option is not available to us. The second is the Special District Risk Management Authority, which is a JPA created by the California Special Districts Association. They cover our workers' comp. And the other is JPRIMA. Please don't ask me what the acronym is for, but they're through the California Mutual Water Association. They're the ones who provide our general liability. We've not seen a third option out there. We generally price it every year, every other two. And frankly, we have one with one and one with the other because of prices.
Okay. No,
I'd just like to point out as an informational item, it's not that Aqua doesn't, or the JPIA insurance of Aqua does not want to write non-water districts, but they did have coverage a decade ago for associate members of Aqua, but then the legislature stepped in and legislatively Aqua's insurance entity can only write insurance for water districts.
It makes sense in terms of like risk pool. Exactly. And so you could better mitigate or predict risk if the pool is similar. So that kind of makes sense in terms of mitigating that. To your point earlier, I agree. Well, the notion that if we keep the higher coverage and the underwriters pull back, we would be still subject to pretty much a very large rate increase associated with really that higher risk. So we're sort of not have an advantage on either side of this. And so I think I'm ready to vote.
And
to the chair.
I do concede your point, being my other role is former director of a homeowners association covered by State Farm. And as you do not, if you do not know, State Farm is no longer underwriting homeowner or association policies in the state of California because of demands on the joint insurance pool. So we're lucky.
Yes.
They continue to cover us, but
if
we wanted to increase our coverage, it's not going to be that.
Yes, thank you. I have a question, Paul. With regards to your comments earlier, you made mention of unlimited coverage that we currently have. There's something there that you said, unlimited coverage.
We have unlimited defense costs. So, if the insurance company is defending us in a lawsuit, whether it costs $50,000 or $300,000, they're covering those costs, which is huge. Our counterpart, San Luis Obispo LAFCO, when they were sued, They frankly conceded to us that they would not have been able to pursue the litigation as far as they did without SDRMA, their insurer, covering those costs. So that gives me another level of comfort, knowing that the defense costs are covered in an unlimited fashion.
And then there was a question I had with regards to our current coverage and how maybe that, if we were to remove that, how it could maybe impact us later. That was a concern for me. And then the question of, we're already going into April. We're almost, you know, mid-year. Is it something that we want to do currently and maybe discuss this at a later time at the beginning of a new fiscal year?
Our policy with the insurance carrier is from April to March of every year. That's why it's being discussed right now. We recently received the new quote for the April 2024 through March 25 quote. That's why it is being brought up at this time, because this is when they issue their quotes for us to continue on from April 1st onward.
I would be more leaning towards keeping it at as is. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. And I agree with my fellow colleague here that, you know, we can't assume that we're okay in the next years. And so it's better to be secured knowing that we have coverage should anything come our way. I think that's the better approach to take, just so that we could continue. And if there's an increase, you know, if there's an increase, what can we do about that? There's increases happening all over the state of California, including LA County, with regards to insurances and home cost and everything else. So that's kind of where I'm leaning at this point. Thank you.
I'm gonna make a motion.
I'll make the motion, but I just have one last question, point of order I want to ask about. Does our legal coverage cover the legitimate actions of the commission itself, the officers and directors?
It does.
Yeah, because that's being a former officer of a homeowners association that's been sued, I was very happy to have that insurance coverage.
It covers staff, all commissioners, and most importantly, our legal counsel. So if, you know, we want to be sure they're covered as well.
Oh, yeah. That'd be,
I mean, what you're really debating is whether or not there would be a judgment against LAFCO, a financial judgment, and in that event, whether we need $6 million to pay that off or 11. That's really the question. I would presume if we were sued, the remedy may be to go back and do it a different way or do it correctly. Most of the lawsuits tend to be on a mistaken process rather than what decision you ultimately made. But, you know, again, there is that exposure with LA juries and awards that you get some crazy settlement. So that's really the question for all of you.
What is county council's feeling about this?
I think that all the points that have been raised so far are very, very valid points. And I think that, you know, I think it would be useful to perhaps look into maybe the coverage amounts that other LAFCOs have and sort of to have that as another data point. But I would also say that in the grand scheme of things, the, I mean, again, this is a business decision up to the commission, but the amount that you would save in lowering the policy coverage amount in light of potential large jury awards, it may not be that much if you look at it that way. You know, a savings of a few thousand versus, you know, like a multi-million dollar judgment and having the security of knowing that you have the larger policy might be another thing to sort of think about, to weigh those things.
And a quick foundational question, Paul, as a public agency, if we had no umbrella insurance and there was a large award, where would it come from? Would the county ever be?
Potentially two sources. The first really is an increase in assessments on the member agencies. Technically, if there were, you know, if the, you know what hits the fan for a LAFCO, you can go to the county for a loan under state law. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I would say in the grand scheme of things, this is $5,500 we're talking about in a $1.8 million budget. So if you're looking for perspective, we just felt this is a question we were not comfortable making on our own. We wanted you to have this conversation to give us direction.
Do you think we could take it out of the legal services county council? Would that be okay?
Staff has no objections. I don't know how county council feels.
So I have a motion on the floor.
I'm sorry, before we proceed with the motion, staff's recommendation. I'm sorry. So staff recommends that the commission open the public hearing, receive public comments, and close the public hearing. Approve the proposed draft budget for fiscal year 2024-25 and direct staff to forward the proposed budget to the county, the cities, and the independent special districts of Los Angeles County, and set April 10th of 2024 as the hearing for the adoption of the recommended final budget for fiscal year 2024-25. Thank you.
All right, well, I'll declare the public hearing open and receive comments and.
Mr. Chair, if I could interrupt just for 1 second. Commissioner Mirisch has joined the meeting. Commissioner Mirisch, can you hear us? Commissioner Mirisch, can you please unmute? He just left. Okay, I apologize.
I think it's appropriate to make the motion on this item before we go further hearing. So we'll take your motion now.
Mr. Commissioner Lewis, does that include keeping the insurance as it is with the 11 million? Okay, to keep it where it is. Okay. And that the higher one is, okay.
Excuse me, you're making a motion to not keep it where it is? Okay, that's your motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll make a second.
Okay. Point of order.
Go ahead.
You're combining the two?
Yeah. Do you want to vote on the two separately?
Yes.
Okay. So,
very good.
So if the clerk could call the roll on, let's do it on the first item, which is keeping the insurance as is.
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Nay.
Commissioner Reyes English?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, just a point of order. This item, given our procedure, this is we can always come back and revisit it, can we not?
Yeah,
of course.
Thank you.
The whole budget can be revisited.
We have five.
You want to make a motion now on the budget itself?
Yes, I will make the motion to adopt the recommended motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
I think I heard he had the second. Okay. Bill had the second. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Bell.
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis.
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum.
Aye.
Commissioner Reyes English.
Yes.
Chair Deere.
Yes. That's approved.
Okay. I've just been informed that Commissioner Mirisch is back on. Commissioner Mirisch, can you hear us? Commissioner Mirisch, are you there? Okay.
Are we done with the budget for today?
We are, yes. If you'd like, you could move on to items 10.
Okay. Senate Bill 1209, staff's recommending support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Agenda item 10A is request of support SB 1209. Staff is requesting that the commission take a support position on SB 1209. A 2021 court decision ruled that LAFCOs do not have explicit authority to require indemnification of applicants filing proposals. SB 1209 would grant LAFCOs indemnification authority, a power already enjoyed by all cities and all counties in California. With indemnification in place and in the event of a lawsuit, LAFCO would tender the defense and, importantly, the cost to mount that defense to the applicant, which would generally be a city, a special district, or a landowner. In the absence of indemnification, LAFCO's only means of defending a lawsuit is to increase assessments on the county, the cities, and the 51 independent special districts, which provide annual assessments to LAFCO. Just as an aside, this court case came down about, it was 2021. It was LAFCO won, I believe, at the trial court level. They lost on appeal at the district court, and then they lost again at the appellate level. They appealed it to the state Supreme Court, which did not hear the case. So the appellate decision stands. It is binding on all LAFCOs. We have, with the understanding of the risk involved, kept our indemnification language in our applications. No one has objected to signing it, but in the event that we were challenged under existing state law, we would not be able to require that. I have particularly strong feelings about this. I've been working very closely within Cal-LAFCO. There were three of us who drafted this bill, myself, Steve Lucas at Butte LAFCO, and Scott Brown, who is an attorney to several LAFCOs. I feel strongly enough, I believe it's an existential threat to all LAFCOs because I'm aware of at least one that settled a lawsuit because they could not afford to defend it. So with that, staff would ask that you take a support position on SB 1209, authorize the chair to sign letters documenting the position, and direct us to convey those letters of support to the governor, the legislature, and interested stakeholders.
Is there a motion to do?
So move.
McCallum.
And a second over here? Okay, please call a roll on the motion.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Reyes English?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes, and it's motion's passed, and we will forward our recommendation. All right, we'll go to the next item, which is 10B.
Agenda item 10B is a request to support Assembly Bill 3277. This is the annual omnibus bill, which is sponsored by Cal-LAFCO and introduced by the Assembly Local Government Committee. Assembly Local Government Committee, I apologize. Each year, Cal-LAFCO solicits LAFCOs for suggestions to make changes to the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Local Government Reorganization Act of 2000. Upon the review of the Cal-LAFCO Ledge Committee and the Cal-LAFCO Board of Directors, those suggestions are submitted to staff of the Assembly Local Government Committee and Legislative Council for review. This year, I believe there were 5 items submitted. 4 of them were knocked out by staff of the Assembly Local Government Committee and Ledge Council. There is one remaining item, which proudly I wrote, which would make the process easier the formation of special districts. Please note that the rule of omnibus is that it has to be vetted by a whole group of stakeholders as well as all members of the assembly. It's made it through stakeholder review, which is about 14 associations like the League of Cities, the California Building Industry Association, CSAC, CSDA, and others. It then has to get past staff. It has to get past Ledge Council. Every member of the committee has to review it and the committee consultant. That's why sometimes items get removed. You have supported the omnibus every year for at least as long as I've been here, and I think even historically farther back. The bill was introduced on February 27th, and we expect it to move through the legislature reasonably quickly. We don't expect any opposition. Staff is recommending the commission take a support position, authorize the chair to sign letters documenting this position, and direct staff to convey those letters to the governor and legislature.
I'll make a motion. Angie Reyes English.
All right, is there a second?
Second, McCallum.
Any further discussion? Go ahead.
I have a question. I take it the cost of the change has been fully vetted and possible liabilities to additional actions LAFCO may have to take?
Correct. That's part of the reason that it goes through Ledge Council as well. It's not a fiscal bill. It has no fiscal impact. In fact, the change that we're recommending right now, and I'll give you a for real instance, there's a proposal to create a new special district that is currently pending with staff. The application's not complete, so it's not brought to you yet. We are required to solicit information from 13 different agencies in that particular instance. And this dictates how the property tax will be reassigned. In this particular case, the applicant proposing to form the special district has stated emphatically they do not seek a share of the property taxes. So we're going through a ridiculous, endless calculation process and trying to get information from 13 cities when at the end of the day, the answer will be zero. What this would do is it would essentially say, if the applicant is seeking a share of the property taxes, then go through the calculation. If the applicant is not, then you don't have to go through the process. So it actually would make our lives substantially easier.
It sounds like it would impose less of an administrative burden.
Yeah, it does. It essentially removes an administrative burden. we're frustrated. This is the third time we've done this, where we're doing all this work for something that at the end of the day, we're doing a calculation to say that calculation is great, but the answer is zero.
Since we already know the answer.
Yes, exactly. And we don't expect an opposition. And again, I mean, the purpose of the omnibus bill is it's intended to be technical or minor changes to the act that are non-controversial, which this meets that description.
So where are we on this? We passed it already?
Roll call.
Oh, we need the roll call, right, of course. Go ahead, please.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Reyes English?
Yes.
Chair Dear?
Yes, and the motion passes.
Mr. Chair, item 11 is commissioner's report. If there's anything for any commissioner would like to report. Item 12 is executive officer's report. I just have a few items. On behalf of your staff, I would like to congratulate LAFCO commissioners who were reelected by voters last week and that will still be gracing our meetings. That includes County Supervisor Catherine Barger, LA City Councilman John Lee, and Commissioner Makai Ali, although it's not the reason he's on LAFCO, but he was reelected as a board member of the Compton Unified School District. So congratulations to the three of them. We would also ask that all commissioners file their Form 700 forms for LAFCO no later than the Tuesday, April 2nd deadline. 10 of the 14 of you have replied so far. The remaining names will be withheld to protect the guilty. And please note the deadline is in less than a few weeks.
I need a couple hard copies. Do you have?
I'll have Alicia get them to you. And then lastly, the election for special district voting member is the election site. The election opened on Monday. It will conclude at the end of on Thursday, April 28th, I believe. It's all on our website, and we have decided this year, in the interest of transparency, every Thursday we will list what agencies have voted. We will not disclose how they voted. We do not open the ballots until the end of the voting period. But since there are only 53 eligible agencies who can vote, we will just identify which agencies have voted and which ones have not.
Now, there are how many candidates?
There are seven candidates. I don't think we've had more than four in the past.
We have a plurality. Whoever has the highest number.
Whoever has a plurality, if there is a tie, it would go to a runoff vote.
Okay.
Thursday, April 25th at 5 o'clock is the deadline. That concludes my executive officer report.
Much. Is there anything else on our agenda? Nothing else. I dropped my agenda on the floor, so I can't get it.
Public comment is item 13. There is a caller on the line. Did you wish to speak under public comment? If you do, please unmute yourself. Is the caller online wishing to make a public comment?
No, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Commissioner Mirisch, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I'm at the house.
I'm at the house, and the internet is very spotty.
Very spotty.
Okay, Commissioner Mirisch, is there any individual there 18 years or older with you?
Well, I'm in a courtyard.
So...
There are a bunch of people, but not in my immediate.
Great. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Your request to participate remotely was approved.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I apologize for the internet issue.
I've been following the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Mirisch. Your future meetings, Mr. Chair, are April 10th, May 8th, and June 12th.
Thank you very much.
And with that, is that back up to you for adjournment?
There's no further business. We are adjourned.